Welcome to English Eden. I am your host, Tyler Hawk, and in this episode, we'll be looking at the five comma rules. We'll start the episode covering the five rules with examples. We will skim over the less important comma rules for master grammarians. Then we will look at famous examples of comma mistakes and see the actual cost of an incorrect comma. The episode will wrap up with a discussion of the word so and the difficulties that it causes with commas. The first comma rule is called compound sentences. Whenever two independent clauses are joined together by a coordinating conjunction, a comma must come before the conjunction. Coordinating conjunctions are easy to spot. In class, we use the acronym FANBOYS to remember the coordinating conjunctions, which are the type of conjunction that joins independent clauses. FANBOYS stands for, and, nor, but, or, yet, and so. Commas go before these conjunctive words whenever there are two independent clauses on either side of them. And independent clauses are a subject and verb working together to express a complete thought, like, I pet the dog. I is our subject, pet is the verb, we have a complete thought there, so that is an independent clause. A couple of examples for this comma rule would be sentences like, I love to study English, comma, and I hate to study anatomy. We have two independent clauses. We have and, one of those fanboy conjunctions there, so a comma needs to come before the and. Another example, I need to go to the store, comma, but we don't have any money. Anytime a compound sentence is being created, a comma separates the two clauses. Now, rule number two, which is named the introductory materials rule. Whenever a substantial amount of information comes before the main subject and verb of the sentence, a comma must separate that information from the rest of the sentence. This means that any time that a prepositional phrase or a dependent clause starts a sentence, a comma will come after it. An example of a sentence with an introductory prepositional phrase would be, in the middle of the night, comma, I saw a shadow in the corner. In the middle of the night is a prepositional phrase that sets up or introduces the main subject and verb, I saw. An example of an introductory dependent clause would be, while I worked on the project, comma, time flew by. While I worked on the project is a dependent clause that introduces the idea of time flying, so it needs to be set off with a comma. Introductory material can also include participle phrases. For a good definition of a participle, see episode 4 of English Eden. An example of a participle phrase needing commas would be, flying off of the handle, comma, David ranted and raved about conspiracies. If the subject of your sentence is not at the beginning, you most likely need a comma to separate introductory material. The third comma rule is items in a list. Whenever three or more items are presented in a list, they must be separated by commas. For example, I love to eat tacos, comma, ice cream, comma, and fried chicken. The comma before the word and in that sentence is called an Oxford comma. Oxford commas are typically required in academics, but are optional in journalism or technical writing. Although Oxford commas are generally a good idea because there can be confusion when an Oxford comma is left out. An example of that would be the sentence, the van was full of psychos, comma, you and your friends. Not placing a comma after you in that sentence makes it seem like the psychos are you and your friends rather than the psychos being a separate group. Even if there are 25 items presented in a list, a comma goes after each one. The items that make up a list don't have to be single words. Commas can be used to separate single words, phrases, or clauses if they're in a list. The only time commas aren't used in a list is if the items have commas themselves. If the items have commas, then semicolons separate the items instead for clarity. The fourth comma rule is called equal rank adjectives. Whenever two adjectives describe the same noun and are of an equal rank, then a comma needs to be separating them. Author Mark Forsyth once said in a social media post that adjectives in English absolutely have to be in this order: opinion, size, age, shape, color, origin, material, purpose. An example of this would be the sentence, I live in a big blue house. Native speakers of English wouldn't say, I live in a blue big house, because of our rule about the rank of adjectives. Size ranks higher on the list than color, so it needs to be big blue house. Native speakers are never taught this ranking of adjectives in school, which leads to problems with this particular comma rule. To follow this rule, if two adjectives are in the same rank on that list, for instance, if two adjectives both describe the purpose of a noun, then they need to be separated by a comma. For example, the genuine, comma, kind behavior of the woman made her likable. Genuine and kind are of equal rank, so they need to be separated by a comma. An easier way to identify equal rank adjectives without remembering the order of those ranks is to see if the adjective's positions can be switched while maintaining meaning. Genuine, comma, kind behavior can be switched to kind, comma, genuine behavior, and it doesn't sound weird. So these adjectives are of equal rank and therefore need a comma between them. Comma rule 5 is called parenthetical expressions. For this rule, any information, whether it be a word, phrase, or clause that is not essential to making meaning in a sentence, needs to be separated from the rest of the sentence with commas. This is one reason that participle phrases need to be separated by commas. Participle phrases usually aren't necessary for making meaning, so they need to be separated. As an example, I fished the lake, comma, trying for some trout, comma, for several hours. The phrase, trying for some trout, can be removed without impacting the meaning of the sentence, so it needs to be separated with commas. This rule often applies to adjective clauses as well. If the adjective clause can be removed without impacting meaning, it needs to be separated with commas. For example, in the sentence, Jimmy, who cannot pronounce people's names, is very funny. The adjective clause, who cannot pronounce people's names, can be removed because it doesn't relate to the rest of the sentence. Therefore, it is a non-essential or parenthetical expression and needs to be separated out by commas. So that sentence would be Jimmy, comma, who cannot pronounce people's names, comma, is very funny. Those are the 5 major comma rules that can make your writing look much more professional if followed. Now let's quickly cover some lesser known and less important comma rules. One of these rules is called direct address. Whenever directly addressing a person, make sure to separate their name from the rest of the sentence with a comma. A funny example of this rule being broken is the sentence, "Sit down and eat, Tim." If there is a comma before Tim's name, then you are inviting him to a meal. If there is no comma, you are inviting someone to cannibalize Tim. It should be sit down and eat, comma, Tim. Another of these lesser comma rules is the rule of transitions and answers. If a transition word, such as therefore or however, is used in a sentence, like, I would, however, like some cake, then there would need to be commas around that transition word, however. For the second half of this rule, if a sentence begins with an answer, either yes or no, there should be a comma after it. The third lesser rule involves separating geographical names from the rest of a sentence, like in the sentence, I went to visit Idaho Falls, comma, Idaho, comma, in the summer. The last lesser rule is one that my students have struggled with, and that is the dialogue rule. If you're writing dialogue in a story, separate the direct quote from the rest of the sentence with a comma. If the quote doesn't have a tag, like he said, then the quote can end with a period. However, a complete sentence in quotation that is followed by a tag, such as he said or exclaimed the woman, needs to be separated with a comma. For example, quote, I didn't eat all the candy, comma, end quote, said the devious child. Now that we've been inundated by rules, let's look at some funny examples of comma blunders in real life. I've pulled these stories from a BBC article by Chris Stalker-Walker, published in 2018, called The Commas That Cost Companies Millions. One of the examples provided states, in 1872, an American tariff law, including an unwanted comma, cost taxpayers nearly $2 million. the equivalent of $40 million today. The United States Tariff Act, as originally drafted in 1870, allowed fruit plants, tropical and semi-tropical, for the purpose of propagation or cultivation, to be exempt from import tariffs. For an unknown reason, when revised 2 years later, a stray comma snuck in between fruit and plants. Suddenly, all tropical and semi-tropical fruits could be imported without any charge. Another example from the article says, a dairy company in the U.S. city of Portland, Maine, settled a court case for $5 million earlier this year because of a missing comma. Three lorry drivers for Oakhurst Dairy claimed that they were owed years of unpaid overtime wages, all because of the way commas were used in legislation governing overtime payments. The state's laws declared that overtime wasn't due for workers involved in the canning, processing, preserving, freezing, drying, marketing, storing, packing for shipment or distribution of agricultural produce, meat and fish products, and perishable foods. The drivers managed to successfully argue that because there was no comma after the word shipment and before the phrase or distribution, they were owed overtime pay. If a comma had been there, the law would have explicitly ruled out those who distribute perishable foods. Now we will take a quick sponsor break, and then we will discuss the word so and the comma difficulties that have riddled my students' writing thanks to that word. The word so is tricky because it is one of the fanboy's conjunctions, which, according to comma rule 1, means that a comma should come before it when two independent clauses are joined. The problem is that so can be combined with the word that to work as a subordinating conjunction and start a subordinate clause. This is especially devious because the word that is allowed to disappear in English. I'm grammatically allowed to create a sentence like, I'm going to buy gas so I can make it to the movies. In this case, the word so isn't joining independent clauses, but is instead combined with the understood word that to create a subordinate clause, and therefore doesn't need a comma before it. This causes many English students to place a comma before the word so unnecessarily. If you're questioning whether a comma should go before the word so in a sentence, try putting the word that immediately after it. If the sentence makes sense with the word that implanted, then no comma is necessary. Let's look at a couple of examples. The first example sentence is, the cat ate the dog food, so the dog ate the garbage. In this sentence, putting in the word that to make the cat ate the dog food so that the dog ate the garbage doesn't quite make sense. So this use of the word so must be joining independent clauses and therefore needs a comma before the so. The cat ate the dog food, comma, so the dog ate the garbage. The second example sentence is, Billy gave Bob a treat so Bob would be nice to him. Implanting the word that would make the sentence, Billy gave Bob a treat so that Bob would be nice to him. The word that makes sense in this sentence, so no comma is necessary. We can just say, Billy gave Bob a treat so Bob would be nice to him, with no comma before so. This episode has covered a lot of rules and examples, so let's review. The five major rules with commas are to place a comma between clauses in a compound sentence, after introductory material, between items in a list, between equal rank adjectives, and around parenthetical information. The lesser rules involve direct addresses, transitions and answers, geographical names, and dialogue. Lastly, comma mistakes can cost a lot of money, so be careful with your commas. Thank you for listening. And listen in next week to my short episode concerning the difference between affect and effect. Thank you.